by the way, I decided, guys, somewhere in the middle of this feedback, that we're breaking this up into two shows, so we're recording another intro and two outros.
Oh, okay.
That's a great idea.
And it's going to be 2 1-hour shows.
Okay.
Yep. That sounds about right.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Broadcast! Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here. We're the Weird Sisters, we're the real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the victors. Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Welcome to the broadcast, Real Weird Sisters Crossover, the Real Weird Crossover, Part 2. This is Broadcast Season 3, Episode 29, number 119, and we are back for another, this is Part 2, as I said that already, but we're back. Hi, everybody, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Martha.
Welcome to the show. So we had so much great content last week that we wanted to continue the party. We didn't want it to end. So without further ado, we are just going to get right into the feedback section. So, or wherever we left this off.
Yay. Can't wait.
Party on.
Moving on. And actually, so Matt stole the joke that I was going to make in response to an email that we get later. And that is J.K. Rowling's bizarre additions to the Harry Potter canon. Has she become the new George Lucas? And I kind of think so. And I was going to make that joke because I've read this really great like editorial or blog post or something. It was like the case for J.K. Rowling being the new George Lucas. And it's like, stop coming out and retconning all your characters because you're just ruining the canon. And, you know, at some point you're going to hit your Jar Jar Binks and it's not going to be great.
Yeah, I guess like because I like, I'm a J.K. Rowling stan. I try to like find excuses for her doing this all the time, and I have to think like, if you were the creator of such an amazing like worldwide phenomenon of a series of Harry Potter, like I'm sure she's had like, okay, I actually give her the benefit of the doubt and think that she's had these ideas in mind for a long time, maybe not like from the beginning, but it's like these are her children basically, like these are her creations, so I can't blame her for thinking these things and like wanting the world to know her thoughts on these characters, but I can't see most of it as official canon. Like we mentioned earlier, like it's fine for J.K. Rowling for me, for her to say those things and say like, I always saw, you know, Dobby as asexual or something, but
did she say that?
No, I just made that up.
She's really like, working that representation in.
Yeah, but like
kind of random.
Problematic representation.
Martha has said that previously.
No, I've said I think he's gay, but I.
Oh yeah,
I just
Dobby is gay.
I just feel like it's fine for her to think those things. It just doesn't really affect my reading of Harry Potter or my interpretation of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. Some of the revelations that have come out have been bizarre. Like, I don't know if you guys caught the revelation about how plumbing was a muggle technology that wizards very, very late in life or late in history adopted. Like
at Hogwarts, they used to just vanish there. Poop.
Well, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
So they would just like relieve themselves and then like vanish the evidence. Like just like any
old like spot?
It's probably in the room of requirement.
There's always long lines.
Right. Yeah. And like I think you guys mentioned it on your podcast, but like so what did they do when they were like 5 and didn't know magic?
Yeah. What about when they were 10 and they didn't know magic? Yeah. That's even worse.
You just wear a diaper until you go to Hogwarts.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That's a muggle adventure.
No, Shandy. They had this
helicopter parenting.
Yeah. No, they had this automatic thing that had a comb that raked it back. And then their parents had to do the spell.
It's a charmed comb.
Just, exactly. Yeah. It's not like electric.
It's kind of like a Roomba.
I do feel like that her answering that particular question kind of came from a lot of people like always ask questions about the bathrooms at Hogwarts. Like, I don't like. A lot of people are like, well, what is it? What are the bathrooms like? Why do we never see them in the bathroom? I'm like, how many books do you actually see the characters in the bathrooms? Like, right. But they people well, ask that all the time online.
They're actually in the bathrooms all the time.
Yeah, yeah, they That's are, true. Especially in the second book. But
I was going to say, yeah,
people
we have
do
that
ask a lot about the bathroom. So I feel like maybe that's it. I feel like a lot of the time she's answering these questions because so many people ask her things all the time.
Yes.
Like,
right. And we all know that poop makes good headlines. So, of course.
It does. So, yeah, like I just feel like a lot of fans are kind of like
asking for it and then
right,
not
they,
liking it.
They're the ones asking the questions of J.K. Rowling. Like they're asking her tons of like logistical questions on how Hogwarts works and stuff. And then at the same time, then getting annoyed when she says stuff. And I also personally kind of wish she would not make so many declarations all the time. But like a lot of people are kind of being hypocritical about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys missed my Roomba, my wizard Roomba joke. Wizard Roombas for picking that shit up.
Literally.
Nice. Clearly, I thought it was charming enough to say it again.
Yeah, no, but and I will say, like, especially with the cursed child stuff and the Fantastic Beasts and stuff, like I distinctly remember somewhere on or around the seventh book her saying definitively that like when Harry Potter is over, it's over.
Yeah, and
she definitely
said that. I think the way she's the technicality she's kind mm-hmm. of gotten off on is she said no more books. So we haven't gotten any more books,
yeah, that's,
quote unquote.
That's almost worse because
no, I agree. I'm like, just you're the best at writing books. So just write books if you're gonna do this. Like quit doing all these other formats that you're not quite as good at.
Yeah.
So she definitely used to say that. That used to be something I would like always quote like to people. And she would always say, like, this is so like not true now, pretty much. But she would say, like, we are not going to be having a book where it's Harry Potter and his grandchildren. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. we kind of got to that point. We almost got to that point.
We didn't get a book like that. We got a script like that.
So it's
which like, she didn't write, to be fair.
Right. Yes. Very differently.
But like, I just think the trick is like for me and for Martha, like the seven books are enshrined in canon and the rest of them are and they're untouchable to me. Like even if she said like even with her saying Dumbledore is gay and that is one of the earlier revelations that she said, like I don't take that as evident. Like there's no concrete evidence of that. Like you can think about it as you read the books and make it interesting, but it's not canon to me.
Right.
So that's my trick for still enjoying it.
Cool. All right. So we got some emails. So let's get into those.
Okay, so we got an email from Elena. Okay, so she says, hi, ladies. Really looking forward to the show. I've got a few discussion ideas. Number one, now that we're on the brink of Lavender and Ron's brief fling in the book club series, book club episodes, has Shandy changed her mind on whether or not Ron hit a home run? My view is he did, but Hermione didn't stick with Crumb.
Okay, so do you remember this last year, Shandy, this discussion? Do you all remember this?
Okay. Blew my mind.
That was the best part of the discussion is how amazed Shandy was by it. It was like she had never, had never occurred to her.
About which part?
About like any characters having sex.
And
about
that is so
happening at Hogwarts.
Well, Shandy was so convinced that they were like circle jerking it in their beds.
Right. That was the
biggest
part.
At the same time, like you're like, oh, they are definitely doing that in their dorms, but no way, none of them ever hooked up.
Right.
Was that what launched that whole conversation?
I think it was.
I think I had a conversation with a dude like very recently about that very thing. So
yes,
it was very
yes.
much on the brain.
We know. Anyway, so now that they're up to that, do you think that Ron
So I saw this question and I'm sad that we're not quite there yet in your guys's book club episodes. And I thought about rereading like these parts, but then I just didn't have time. So I'll be interested to see, like, once you get to those chapters and you guys suggest it to your listeners without overtly suggesting it because it's a family friendly podcast. it really didn't occur to me that that kind of content was hidden anywhere in Harry Potter. So,
well, now that you've had a year to think about it, do you think that perhaps in general, Lavender and Ron, you know, hooked up in the sexual way? I mean, do you think they had sex?
You know, in a sexual way.
Right. For me, that's almost like, I mean, it's like some fun fanfic, but I think of it almost in the same way of like Dumbledore being gay. Like, I don't see the textual evidence for it. And maybe you guys will convince me otherwise when you actually like dissect it for an hour and a half. But in a family-friendly format.
I wonder how much we're going to be actually going into that, but we'll see.
Maybe we can patrons group.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I think it's easily something that like you could, especially now that you put the idea in my brain, I could easily like be like, oh, I can read between the lines here, but it's not overtly said anywhere. So, and it's also a family friendly series.
Yeah.
And, it is like, a family friendly series.
Sex doesn't come up.
Okay. What you're saying is ask you again next year.
We'll have one more year to think about this, but you're still fairly convinced that they were all like jacking off in a circle together.
Actually, no, I'm out with that idea.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm not married to that idea, but
bummer.
Although boys do weird things, okay. But that I will stand by. But I don't know. I just also think that like if you're gonna read through the between the lines, it's also just kind of a major assumption that they're actually having like D and V, P and V,
P and V,
DMV, where you get your driver's
license. Oh my god!
Call me out about that.
I sure do.
Oh my god! Yeah, dick and vagina, or peen and vagina, whichever you prefer. I just, you know, there's like a myriad of other things that they could be doing. That may have made Ron like giddy and talking.
What kind of thing, Shandy?
Are you saying D&V is only for muggles or something?
No, I'm just saying that they are, you know, like juniors in high school in a family-friendly book. They could be... True. Oh my god. Speaking of which, has anyone watched Sex Education? We talked about it a little bit last
time. No, not yet.
First half of the first episode.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Speaking
of kids in Europe, but seriously, the series is so fucking good. But like, Hogwarts is not like that high school.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Okay.
Question two.
Yeah. All right.
We shall see. Okay. So part two of Elena's question is it okay for J.K. Rowling, as the author of the Harry Potter series, to retrospectively paint the series with a liberal brush? Why do you think she does this? Do you think the series would be significantly different if it had been written some 10 years later, or if Rowling had written a successful series prior, i.e. had more clout with prospective publishers?
I think her second suggestion is definitely a huge part of it, that Rowling, this being her first book series that she wrote, or book at all that she wrote, had a huge role in her decision to not make it, you know, explicitly super progressive. But I do think that if you read Harry Potter without knowing anything about J.K. Rowling, the themes that are there are very much, you know, that, you know, we have to be open-minded, to be loving, to be kind, you know, things that I consider all painting with a liberal brush. So if that's the words that you're going to use. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Also, I think we kind of just talked about this too with Matt's kind of joke question about the George Lucasing herself. But I do agree that part of it was probably just because she did write the first one to be somewhat of a kid's book, but the themes are there, right? Mm-hmm. Like the themes are still, I think I agree with you, even if there is problems like lack of representation that we've been talking about, or you know, just some of the people have picked apart some of the things that are more problematic within it. But I do think that probably a lot of it, and we talked about this last year too, was she was a first time publisher, and maybe do you think that the books, as he got older, they did have some more adult maybe themes?
Yeah.
Where she was able to get away with that with the publishers more, but still they needed to keep it so they could sell it to a mass appeal. And that's why things like the Dumbledore revelation didn't come out until later.
Right. Well, I do think that the 10 years ago thing is important too. And I mean, really, the first books were written 20 years ago. So like, and the fact that it started as a children's series, like there was some YA at the time that went like that dealt with LGBT relationships and stuff, but not nearly how there is now. Like that's just exploded in the last 10 years compared with how it was. So I think if this had originally been a YA series, then maybe they would have let her go there with it. But just being that it was billed as a children's series, I don't think that the publishers were as progressive at the time.
Yeah, and I do agree that as the series progresses, we do have more of those adult themes for sure. And I think Alice the Librarian would confirm, like, the later three books especially are usually considered YA fiction, whereas the first three or four, depending on the library, are more like those children's lit. So I think that those later books do get into more adult topics, and I think that there's more of like a progressive lens through those later books as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I remember also in the movie, like especially I guess that would be in the seventh movie, being really struck by the imagery that was like very like paralleling you know, Nazi propaganda, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, which is there in the books too, but I think just like seeing it visually was like very mm-hmm. just yeah. You know, really like
striking.
Thank you. Exactly. So there's definitely progressive themes there, but I agree that time is definitely an issue. And cause even if you think about like when the revelation came out that Dumbledore is gay, like if you think about it as a moment in history, that also is kind of a moment where like, you know, most people who weren't complete jackasses were coming around to the idea of like, oh yeah, like, you know, people who are not straight are people too.
Yeah.
So I think there is a real shift.
Yeah, that was right around the time. I mean, really, I mean, that was about when it started. Like, I feel like the tide started shifting where it was like, it went from being like more of a minority opinion to being more like widely accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, even, I mean, and we talked about this, I think last year too, but even just the fact that the series has a male protagonist as the main character. Even though it's written by a woman, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, that's too bad. But even that like is probably a bit of a product of her time. And I don't know. I haven't actually read any of her other works, so I don't know if
actually the
more progressive.
Her mystery series definitely has very like feminist themes in it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot with like one of the characters and some of her like PTSD from like previous trauma that she's experienced and stuff. So it's pretty interesting to see that. But again, her main character is a man. So it's kind of interesting to see that mix.
Well, even in that, like, and sorry not to cut you off, but I even find in that series that it is still very male centric because it's oftentimes the female character is always inevitably getting rescued.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we see a lot of it from Cormoran's perspective, although we do see Robin's perspective.
I think it's what I like about that series. I agree. That was when I first started the series, I was like, I don't know if I love the dynamic between these two characters because I feel like it is, like you said, very like male centric and that Robin was sort of like the peripheral character. But what I like is that, like, I think that's part of who Robin was and that she has now progressed. Like, mm-hmm. she, has had this development in her character, and she's getting a lot stronger the more the books go on.
For sure.
So I think we're seeing her like in some ways a realistic arc for her of like, you know, not everybody starts out as being like an amazing like yes queen, but Robin has gotten to that point now.
Yeah. Well, especially since she's at the beginning of the series in like a unhealthy relationship with a very not feminist man, like that's a very again realistic arc that she's kind of like, I don't know, in that relationship for so long, and it's once she gets out of the relationship that, you know, that progress that she makes, I think, is part of her arc for sure.
Okay, and then part three.
Elena says that it'd be hilarious to hear you try out some Harry Potter pickup lines, and she gives us a link for some ideas. Would any work on you, and can you come up with any half-decent original lines?
Oh, boy.
I have to say, I don't think any Harry Potter pickup line would work on me. I would be very uncomfortable.
Well, any pickup line in general.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Should be specific.
So that makes it hard, like, makes it more difficult.
Yes.
Oh my God, can we read some of these?
Yes, please. Yes.
This article is in Thought Catalog, and it's by Johanna?
I think
Joanna?
It's
Joanna
Mort.
Last name I always say that Johanna, too, so thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, but last name is M-O-R-T, as in Voldemort, as in death. Yeah. Just so funny.
Shandy, didn't I point out to you about how Voldemort meant flight of death or whatever?
Yeah, no, but which one was it? There's one, because it can mean flight, and it can also mean, like, theft of. And you would pointed out one
better. That is better.
Yes, you steal death. You had pointed out one or the other, and I had always thought of it like in one way, and you blew my mind with that too.
That's what I live to do.
One of my favorites on this list, my favorite is, did you say Petrificus Totalis? Because you've made me stiff.
Oh my God.
Very romantic.
Very, yeah. So that's the one that would work on you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Wow. Some of these are brilliantly terrible.
I know. I love it so much.
Call Ollivander because I think my wand has found its master.
Oh, no. Yeah,
oh my God. How about, did you order some Felix Felicis? Because you're about to get lucky.
I don't need Axio to make you come.
Oh, where is that one?
Number 9.
Girl, are you a muggle? Because I swear your ass is magical.
I may not be the boy who lived, but I can still be your chosen one.
That's corny. Yeah, that's really corny. I like the very PG ones. Like, we may not be in Professor Flitwick's class, but you sure are charming.
Right. I feel like those toes go with like a slide whistle. So,
Wanna make me moan like Myrtle?
Yeah, I was just gonna read that one.
I can moan like Myrtle pretty well.
Oh, please do.
I was distraught.
Hey, why don't you say we go look for the Room of Requirement?
Oh, we know what that means.
We all know what that means.
I think Johanna might be a listener of the broadcast crossover.
Seriously.
So, Johanna, if you're listening, let us know if you pronounce it Johanna or Johanna.
Or Joanna.
Yeah.
If it was Joanna, why would there be an H?
Well, no, Johanna is a common name.
So is Joanna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only Harry Potter pickup line that I've ever thought of, and I have to say this is very cringy, but it's a Dumbledore quote that I think could be used as a pickup line. That could possibly work. I'm not totally sure, but I actually think it's a very sweet line that he says right as they are about to leave.
I feel like I'm about to cringe so hard.
You are definitely about to cringe so hard. So this is right before they're about to leave Privet Drive in the 6th book, and they're heading to Slughorn to visit Slughorn. And he says, "Let us step out into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure."
Yes!
I think that would work.
It always does. I don't like that line. Like, it's that's always that kind of bothered me.
If you guys could fit that on a candy heart and send that to Martha, you're
it'd
in.
Work. You're golden.
One from the list that I like, I can be your house elf. I'll do whatever you want and I don't need any clothes.
Oh my God. Okay, this
it's
sounds
a little too explainy, though.
This sounds like something.
It's like, yeah.
Just in case the person you're talking to is not a true fan.
Right.
Spell it out.
This next one sounds like something that Jay would say. I'm very interested in exploring your chamber of secrets.
Yeah. I was in like eighth grade and I found a list of Harry Potter pickup lines and I was reading them and like thought they were the funniest thing ever.
Well, that was back when they were like they first had kind of been invented.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone thought they were hilarious.
Right. So obviously the Slytherin to your Chamber of Secrets was one of them. But
as you do.
Yes. And actually that for any stands of Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, that was one of the highlights of their short relationship was a quick Harry Potter pickup line on Instagram that Ariana said to him, I want to slither into your Chamber of Secrets.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Oh man. I bet you if I was more on tonight, because I feel like I'm not. I could think of some really cheesy ones. Man.
Come on, Colleen. You could do it.
I know. Come back to me. Come back to me. I'll think.
Okay.
While I'm thinking, so right now at the end of this show, Martha's going to do another impression.
Oh God, I thought we'd forgotten about that.
We had forgot about that. I'm going to try to think of some more cheesy pickup lines. And for now, we're going to read Justin's email.
Okay.
All right. So Justin says, who does everyone want to win in the Democratic primaries for 2020? You know, going in with the softball.
Justin is Australian, so I think that's probably...
Well, he probably is curious because we don't talk about politics on our show. So
I thought of one. What if it was something like... Ooh, I'll flick your wick.
That's where I thought the flick one was going to go.
Okay, sorry.
You could say, like, I'll teach you how to swish and flick.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, nice, Alice.
Stupid, that's really dumb.
Okay,
sorry. I might not be a mandrake, but I can scream.
That was on the list.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, that was pretty good.
It was like, I'll make you scream how to, like a mandrake.
Louder than a mandrake, yeah.
Okay. Well, I like read it but didn't notice it.
Yeah, it just like went into your subconscious.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I guess we're pivoting just a little bit for this email.
A tiny, tiny little pivot. It's not even really a pivot, it's like a shuffle.
Yeah. So this is a tough question because I feel like we're only like six of like 400 people that are gonna come out.
Right. Right, yeah, and it's so early on.
Right. It's the woodwork hasn't even really begun yet.
No. Yeah. I can tell you I don't want to see.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of more where I'm at too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I don't want to see an old white dude. Yep. Like, I don't want a Bernie. I don't want to what? Yeah. I don't want a Bernie. I don't want a Biden. I
love you, Uncle Joe, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Joe, but it's too late and it's not
70.
Yes.
Yes, please. I don't think I want a boomer.
Nope.
Preferably not. I would highly not.
Yeah.
I think it's time for some Gen Xers.
Yeah.
Especially when we're limiting it to not men, like not a boomer man, maybe a boomer woman.
Yeah.
But...
Well, so I like Elizabeth Warren. I think she gets like she does great work, but I would love to see her as in a cabinet position. Like, could you imagine her as like Secretary of Treasury or because we've got so much that we have to undo because it's a hot mess that we need like the brightest and the sharpest and the smartest. And if for some reason like Kamala doesn't make it, I would love to see her be like Secretary of State or Attorney General or something because I think
I agree. I'm worried with Warren like that she's gonna be too easy of a target for Trump to like not that that's like a reason I wouldn't support her, like I would support her, I just am afraid that she's not going to like that people will be like glomming on to like little things and then turning into big problems. I mean, he's going to do that with anyone, but I feel like she's already such a target for him.
I agree. I don't think she has national appeal.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I would love to see her as Secretary of Education because she was a teacher for a long time.
That's a great idea. And
that would be a great pivot from our current Secretary of Education.
Yeah. Yes,
she must not be named.
Professor Umbridge.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a great idea.
I will say I do really like Kamala Harris. I don't know a ton about her, but I really like what I know about her.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like, I don't actually know that much about her, but I'm like ready to vote for her already.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's smart. Me too. That would, if I was going to pick like my front runner, that would be my personal front runner, but not based on really that much. And I mean, I don't want to say I don't know anything, right. But
you know who I'm really digging the more I hear her speak is Amy Klobuchar. Is that how you say
her
name?
I really like her too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think that she's just as smart. She's sharp. She does like these really quick Twitter or messages and they get to the point and she says like, you know what it takes like Chuck Schumer 40 minutes to say. So I think that she would be a great person. I'm not opposed to a Beto run in like 10 years.
I would like him as vice president, maybe, but I'm not ready for him.
Because he's got the...
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'd be better as a ticket, VP, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes. What's her name? Tulsi Gabbard? Gabbard? Yeah. I do not like her.
No.
Oh, yeah. From Hawaii?
She's the one who was formerly pro-conversion therapy and then changed her take on it, which...
No, let's not go there.
We can't. That's a misstep we're not allowed to take.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, one person that a lot of people have talked about running that we should probably address is our current Montana governor, Steve Bullock. And that's kind of random to me that he's always listed on like the top lists of possible people to run and that he's likely to run.
Really?
And
he's a great governor, but I don't know, like not that many people know who he is. So like he would have an uphill battle on that. Second of all, I mean, he's a man, so that already puts him lower on my list right now.
Well, so there's, I know, and then you want a candidate out there that you know is going to win for sure. And that's
right.
That's
the risk. Like,
that's the risk.
Bullock is great. Like, he's a really good governor, and we really like him.
We want him to stay in Montana and take our senator out.
Take back the Senate.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Got a long ways to go.
We have a long ways to go. Yeah. And I know all. So I was, because when I first read this email, I was thinking about this. And I know now, like, all the commentators are coming out with everything that's a problem with somebody else. Like, Senator Harris wasn't progressive enough, like, with her when she was a prosecutor, or, you know, just the different things. I won't go through them for time's sake, but. It's funny that the liberals always seem to kind of like eat their own. And I realize that that's because everybody is like younger and not, it don't have to be progressive, but the definition of like, so all the conservatives are always, they bind behind people so easily, even if like they hold their nose.
Well, they just like find the shittiest one. And then it's like, okay.
Well, it's not even the shittiest.
Right, but let's not forget, they had like a huge bench.
True.
They did, but look how once that was out, like once that was done, or once it was done, once
they did a way better job.
They all fell in line.
They fall in line. And I guess that's also like the definition of being more conservative in general is you're not for pragmatic ideals and change and
but also they're just like they're then also by definition more homogenous as a group. So it's like okay, once we've done like all the battling, we have our straight white old male candidate and we're all gonna get in line behind him because we're also all kind of like straight white men, right? Whereas like in the progressive field, we're much more varied. So
And you have the younger group who's coming in who's now starting to want the more progressive ideals and more just different things based on our experiences. So you have like you know, when we had the Bernie versus Hillary thing, the Bernie bros, I mean, okay, first of all, I say that it's, we want to make sure we have a candidate that wins. We had a candidate that fucking won last time. She got the popular exactly. vote by 3 million.
Thank you.
Exactly. But, okay, that aside.
Snaps.
That aside, like, the Bernie bros, you know, they didn't fall in line, so to speak. Like, they went and they third-party voted, or they voted yep. for Trump to whatever. Yep. And that's kind of, like, the problem yep. that Democrats always have is you've got so many more ideals, which, again, I guess is by definition a liberal. You know, it's so many ways to
think about something.
Yeah, that nobody, no, we're not gonna like really hold our nose and vote a certain yeah. way. Except this time, everybody to fucking hold their nose and vote for whoever is not Trump.
Okay, right. That's what I was gonna say. Like, I actually, my main concern is I would like somebody to who's going to win. I obviously my top choice would be like someone diverse, someone exciting, someone younger. But I don't actually care as long as we win.
Somebody who's going to get people to the polls.
Yeah.
So that's
right. Right. If I get one of those things, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Younger, diverse. I'll take one.
Yeah.
Well, and I think like the whole Bernie Bros debacle, though, also shows that like what the left does have in common with the right is there's still a lot of pervasive sexism. So
yes.
Like less so right. than on the right, definitely. Yeah. But like that's what we're seeing with the yeah. there.
Especially yeah. with the boomers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually they will die.
Yes.
So who do we want to win in the Democratic primaries? Hashtag anybody that's going to beat Trump.
Yes. Very true.
Probably a younger progressive woman.
Yes. And then following up on that, what is your feminine origin story? When did you start to become passionate about the movement?
Who wants to start?
Well, Shandy was born on February 24th.
February 24th.
No, I actually can pinpoint it. I mean, not like in a Colleen-esque way. I can't tell you the date. But I do remember specifically that it happened in church. Shout out to Wells. This is a very conservative part of the Lutheran church. And I just remember being a very young girl and like, hearing the Bible, basically, like the version of the Bible that was being used, and just like the way the pastor was talking with the pronouns, where you find, you know, like in that sort of speech, you find a lot of like men being used as the universal mankind, that kind of thing. And I just remember as like a young girl being like, what the fuck? Except I probably didn't say fuck in my head.
There used to be a Shandy who didn't say that word all the time.
Believe it or not,
weird to picture.
It was like before you were like three, probably.
Yeah. So I would say that's my origin story.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then just like later on, I think like issues of fairness were always of great concern to me. So I think it sort of like goes together, obviously, really nicely. And then I do remember also when I was in high school, my oldest brother bought me my first Bitch magazine. Mm-hmm. If anyone's familiar with that magazine. And that was kind of like also a moment where it was like everything sort of came together. And it was like, oh yeah, now I have some actual reading material for like these
Manifesto.
Feelings that I've been. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think Alice and I like both were pretty lucky in that we were raised by two very progressive people, which may sound contradictory in the fact that our parents are both ministers, which is a very different experience than what Shandy had in a church. Both of our parents, I think, really instilled from our birth, you know, very progressive liberal ideas, and it was never really a choice that I felt like I made to be liberal or to be open-minded or feminist. And that might sound like privileged to say that, but it's really how I feel. And I think especially for becoming like a feminist, I remember like when I learned the word feminist, like it was a thing, I can't remember when it was, but I remember like learning the definition of feminist and being like, why wouldn't anybody be that way? I think I was probably in like middle school. And I think I do remember talking to my mom about it, and she was like, yeah, I think it has a weird connotation, and like, I don't know why. And I just remember it being like, yeah, that's what you should be. And like, that's how
yeah, good people I know behave. It's kind of hard because I feel like we can't actually take very much credit for our own, like, yeah. We don't really have, I agree, like, we don't as much have a feminist origin story. Like, our dad would always go out of his way when we were growing up to, like, for example, he would never, like, he would never give any of our stuffed animals a man's name. He would always call it a her. Like, we'd be like, this is a boy. And he'd be like, well, what does she want to do? Like, he would always name them like a girl's name and
that's
stuff
awesome.
Like just, so yeah, it was like funny when you think back on it. It was like cool, but it was really annoying when we were a kid because it was like, well, we do have some boy stuffed animals, but this was like him, I mean, a little bit overcomplicating. Yes. But he would always be like, well, what does she think? And stuff like that. So there was that. And then like our mom, she just was always very like very smart and intellectual, like just raised us to think that way. And like she didn't tell us how to think about stuff. She was always very good about like asking questions in a leading way, yeah. I guess. But I think for me, like in college, I started to like, I feel like I was kind of at like a more of like a kind of how a lot of people in our generation were, like where we were sort of complacent. Like in high school, I feel like I was sort of complacent, like, yeah, this is just how the world is. And like, I'm fine. I don't have to do much, whatever. I'm like, I have equal rights to men and that kind of thing. Even though I would have identified with liberal ideas at that time as well. But I feel like in college, I started like really getting more ideas about how feminism still definitely needs to be a thing, and how like there are a lot of rights that women don't have that are equal, like there are a lot of ways that society doesn't treat women equally and that kind of thing. So I can't like pinpoint an exact time, but I do feel like in college I started to really like be more passionate about it.
Nice. Amanda?
Nice. I don't know. I feel like I was very blessed growing up to have a lot of really great, strong female role models and people to aspire to. So I feel like it was probably similar in the fact that it was a gradual awakening as opposed to one lightning bolt awakening moment. But yeah, I would say as I got older, probably as you move into like high school and college years and you're sort of really given the space to develop your own thoughts and feelings about the world, I think is probably when it really started to crystallize for me. But yeah, no, I'm just very fortunate that I've had lots of really wonderful, strong women to look up to and aspire to along the journey. So it made it easier to see the importance and to see how it could be.
Yeah. So I guess my experience is probably very different from everybody else's in a way. I was raised in a very conservative household, very conservative household. And I would say that I, you know, definitely identified. I always, I guess, identified as a Republican because my parents did. But anytime that our social studies teachers in school or teacher in school would challenge you, usually like social studies or something, challenge you on something if there was a topic for debate, or I would always feel a little bit of shame and think like, I don't know if what I'm arguing logistically makes sense. But like, I was that little shit kid who did like the PowerPoint presentation every year on why Reaganomics worked. And I was used to be, yeah, totally. And then, you know, the more that I like grew up and experienced more things and talked to more people, I would always think like, this doesn't really make sense. Or if, you know, my parents explained something to me, and I remember thinking, you know, having like questions that were like, your answers don't, like, they make sense, but at the other hand, like, I feel like there's other factors here. So anyway, long story short, when I guess I moved here, and then around the time that Zach was born, I got very complacent and didn't really follow politics a whole lot until Donald Trump entered the scene. And even then, I tried to be more pragmatic. And I believe I voted for Obama in both elections. I know I voted for him the first time. I would imagine I voted for him the second time. But don't tell my parents. They still don't know.
Man, Frank walked with me to the polling place when I cast my ballot for Obama because it was like that's a huge awesome. Deal.
But no, I think I just had this moment because even like when we were debate, like when Trump was running, and I always tried to stay like pragmatic and like, yes, I understand like this side of it. And then there was a point after he won where I was just like, yeah, I don't know. I give up. I got nothing. Like, you know, by the time the Women's March came around, I think I was like, I got nothing. And then, you know, I just kind of got more immersed into the political world. And I guess I kind of got stronger in the feminist stuff from there. And then, of course, this podcast really cemented that. But yeah, that's my origin story. It's not very exciting, but I feel like...
No, yours is probably the most exciting.
Yours is definitely the most yes queen.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yes queen.
Yeah, yeah, good times. But now Jay says I'm more liberal than him.
Did he used, when this he used happened. To be more liberal than you?
Yeah. Well, okay. Jay was in the Young Republicans Club when he was in high school. And then over, you know, whatever point in his 20s, he became more liberal than not. He became, you know, pretty liberal. And now he's just like, when did you pass me? And I'm like, it's all Shandy's fault.
So as an interesting side note, that's maybe not super interesting for podcasting, but I can maybe post it in the group. I've been going through some boxes and came across a bunch of fun like pictures from growing up in high school and whatever. Yep. And one of them is a picture, this is brilliant photography, of my back bumper of my high school car because I took a picture of it when I was in high school and kept it for all these years. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to send it to the group chat, but I can also now post it online.
On Facebook?
I'll post it when you post this.
Okay.
On our new Instagram?
But it gives a on our new Instagram! There we go! But this gives a flavor of me in high school.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, love the car, Shandy. I appreciate the Subaru as well, yes.
Thank you. I bought it for $500.
Wow, good on you.
Love the Dave Matthews Band sticker.
Oh my God, I was so...
You were a child of a certain era.
So into Dave Matthews Band, yes. I saw Dave Matthews Band at the Gorge in high school, and it was like a religious experience.
That would be something I would have killed to do in college.
This was your high school car, Shandy?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It was indeed. Say peace on earth, goodwill toward women.
Yeah, I love it.
That's awesome. And plus, like back then... It was way harder to get stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like you could go online and just order copious amounts of whatever flair you wanted. Like,
yeah.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Like, how much more special all, like, stuff like that was mm-hmm. when we were growing up.
But also because we had cool shots. Like, I bought most of these bumper stickers either at the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center or also at Rainbow's End, which doesn't exist anymore, but exists in Flagstaff, Arizona. Oh. Yeah. And I went there and I was like, holy weird. Like,
yeah. I like the if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. Still hasn't changed.
Sticker. You know, it's kind of many years ago. Yeah.
Okay, Justin, I hope that we answered your question to your satisfaction. All right. We are going to finish this up with a bunch of Mary F. Kills, Mary Fuck Kills, if you will. Mary Fork Kills. We're going to put a fork in this show with some Mary Fork Kills from Greg.
Well, my favorite is that Greg has labeled these with different titles. So they're really funny titles, too, I feel like. And Greg did not have that long, that much notice to come up with these. So great job. You did a really good job on this, Greg. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the first round is called the fraud round.
Of Defense Against the Dark Arts professors.
Yeah. So the first round is Barty Crouch Jr. as Moody versus Quirrell versus Lockhart. And those are all frauds in certain ways.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I feel like this one's actually pretty easy. You bang Lockhart, you marry Quirrell, you kill Moody. Ew,
you have to marry Quirrell is you, awful.
Oh, but
everybody killed Moody.
Everybody Lockhart. Killed Quirrell last year. Everybody killed him when we had this question.
But okay, is it Quirrell with Voldemort in his head, or
yes,
is there another version of Quirrell?
Yeah, that was my least favorite. I would kill him.
So you're gonna marry Moody?
No, I think Shandy had the right one.
You marry Lockhart?
Yeah, marry Lockhart.
Offensive.
Well, if you marry him after his memory's been backfired.
Why wouldn't you bang him?
Well, but if you're married to him, you can also bang him.
Right. That's what everybody always says in this game, but then I feel like that like defeats the purpose of this. I don't know. I
it just means you'd want to bang him more than once.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So the marry one is actually the best one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
As a married person.
Okay, our next round is the since round of Defense Against the Dark Arts professors. I'm not really sure why it's the since round.
Yeah, what is okay. Let's see who they are.
It is Lupin versus Snape versus Umbridge.
That's easy too.
Yeah, that one's very easy.
Well, you marry Lupin.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to bang Snape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
probably be over pretty quick.
Probably. And we all agreed last year that he was a crier.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, I feel like we talked about that. I was gonna say he'd probably be crying.
Yep.
You're not like, Lily.
Thinking of Lily, get over it.
Oh my god. Here's another pickup line, like, I'll fuck the Lily off your mind.
Oh, a specific to Snape pickup line.
Yes. Or James.
Okay. Fair. Or Harry.
All right. And then, of course, you kill Umbridge, unless if you're Bane, in which case, I guess you kill the other two and fuck Umbridge. Next up.
All right. Next, we have the short round.
Oh.
No.
Griphook versus Flitwick. Flitwick, not Flitwick. Sorry. Griphook versus Flitwick versus the Frog Choir conductor, who some people consider to be Flitwick, but we don't know for sure.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're not doing anything with Griphook, I hope, because he's a goblin.
I don't think
so. So, kill
marry
Griphook.
Flitwick, bang the conductor.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would kill the choir director, I think.
You're gonna bang Griphook?
Marry him. Platonic marriage.
All right.
He works at a bank.
Like, I'm sorry, but the front choir conductor is the absolute worst.
Yeah.
And yeah, you get the free access to Gringotts.
Rob Gringotts.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll read the next one, the mommy round. Narcissa Malfoy versus Molly Weasley versus Petunia Dorsley.
Oh my god.
That one's so easy.
Yeah, it's extremely easy.
Yeah.
Bang Narcissa, you marry Molly, and you kill Petunia.
Yep.
Unless you want to show Petunia like
you're probably
a good time and you bang her, but
that's what I was gonna say, but
yeah, suddenly that she was a toss-up, so nice like, to Harry. I feel like it's
you're definitely marrying Molly.
Yeah. It's lose-lose either way with both of those. Like, but I feel like it's equally win-win. Like, neither one of them has that much of an edge over the other.
Yeah.
Only one can bang while the other dies.
Neither can bang while the other dies.
Neither can bang while the other
dies. Oh, right. My bad.
All right. The Daddy Please round.
That's my favorite title. That kills me.
That is my favorite title, too. Yeah. Sirius Black versus Kingsley versus Victor Crumb.
That's a hard one.
That's a really
I thought
hard
that this
one.
Was going to be three dads.
No, it's like daddies.
No, like.
Yeah, no, I got it. But. Okay.
I'm going to kill Sirius, marry Kingsley, bang Crumb.
Hmm. I'm going to kill Crumb.
Okay. Yeah, I would kill Crumb too. He's the Mary, most defensible.
I think marry Kingsley and fuck Sirius.
Yeah, poor Sirius. Yeah. He's never had anything good in his life.
Well, that might be a really good bang. You don't know.
Yeah, it's been pent up for a while.
Well, are we talking about Crom with all that Quidditch money?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I might marry that. Or at least get pregnant.
Knock down that.
Kingsley's just like seems like a really good person.
Yeah.
Like, yes, yeah. Yes, he's stable and stuffs.
Yeah, and plus he must be like he becomes Minister of Magic. Like, you're pretty much then like First Lady. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'm gonna have to kill Sirius.
Well, he's annoying. So.
I agree. I'm killing Sirius as well.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, and then the poly round, in which you make pairs for a three-person relationship, including yourself, and assign a fate to each group. Okay. Oh. So,
and it's the six, like, DA people. Harry, Ron, Hermione, Neville, Luna, Ginny. So you make pairs.
So you choose, like, you choose who you're going to have, like, a three-way with.
Okay.
And then who you're going to have a three-way marriage with, like, yeah, a polygamous, yeah, like, marriage. And then
two that you're going to kill. And then a three-way kill.
Then you kill the other two.
Okay, I'm going to kill Harry and Ginny. I'm going to marry Ron and Hermione, and I'm going to bang Luna and Neville.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Mm.
I don't hate that. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I actually like Harry and Ginny, so I don't like that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Ron.
I'm going to kill Ron and probably Neville.
Yeah, that was probably my second choice to kill, too.
Mary. Is it Neville, like, the way that he looks in the last movie?
No. Well, okay.
I know my answer. I know my answer. I'm going to marry Harry and Hermione. I'm going to kill Ron and Neville, and then I'm going to bang Luna and Ginny.
I mean, that would be really fun.
Okay,
yeah, that's not bad either.
I was going to say marry Harry and Ginny, kill Ron and Neville, and bang Hermione.
You don't want to pick a pair to marry, because then you're going to definitely feel like the odd one
out. Okay, so then maybe I bang those two and marry Hermione and Luna.
Yeah.
See, I went with like their assigned coupling.
Oh, see.
But you don't have to, clearly.
No, I don't think you have to.
No, because it's not presented like that.
There are no rules here. No. I mean, there are rules, but you know.
We can choose not to follow them.
Yes.
We didn't say that it has to be the established pair, but it could be.
Unlike one of our previous people that wrote in feedback, this ends with, please excuse any spelling. I fire this off pretty quickly.
Well played, sir.
All right. We're going to finish this show off with This Week in Andy's Virginity.
All right. I will take it away. Okay, so Andy writes in, hey, broads and sisters, another slow week. It's been quiet on all fronts. Haven't heard from Alice, not you, in a few days.
Well, he hasn't heard from me in a few days either.
It's been longer, actually.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything magic or Harry Potter related. I guess I'll post something to the single people or formerly single. Since Valentine's Day is just around the corner, what do you do? Does anyone have any special ways to spend the day when you don't have another person to spend the day with? I'm sure there are people who treat it like any other day, but someone in the listenership must have a fun way to counter celebrate. Hashtag I'm with Hersicus. Andy.
I am probably the only single person on this podcast. Is that correct?
Maybe. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So
that's just because you have any ideas, Martha?
Well, I like to watch the Galentine's Day episode of Parks and Rec on Valentine's Day. That's what I've done for the last few years. I watch that, and then that's my way of celebrating. And then I eat some candy, probably.
That's a
I don't really buy into Valentine's Day too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like that. But yeah. You're just waiting for the right person to make you scream like a mandrake. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't feel like before I was in a relationship, I don't think I really had a way that I celebrated Valentine's Day. So I don't know that I'm going to be helpful on this one. Just eat a lot of candy. That's what I have to say.
I used to do takeout sushi, whiskey, and I used to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Ooh.
Oh my God, that's what I call every day, not Valentine's Day.
I know, sometimes I just want to do it anyway.
Although I'm a sushi and wine person, not even sake.
I go back and forth. I feel like, you know, Valentine's Day, it's kind of special. Class it up a little bit. Nice rocks glass.
Very true.
Fancy, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
some,
true.
Some Widow Jane rye.
Oh, yeah, you and your gross rye whiskey.
So good.
Well, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. I didn't celebrate Valentine's Day as a single person, and I also don't celebrate Valentine's Day as a coupled person, so.
Fair. Yeah, we don't really celebrate that much either. Like, eat candy. That's, again, what I mainly do.
I mean, that's like a life.
Yeah, I do that every day, so.
Yeah. So yeah. I've talked about this before, but we do something called Birthentine's Day because my birthday is February 8th and Valentine's Day is the 14th. That it's just always like a combination. Like,
yeah.
Here you go. It's like, here's your birthday present and here's a little box of chocolates.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think I used to like hang out with my grandma on Valentine's Day before.
Oh, that's really nice too.
Yeah, or my grandma and my grandpa, because my grandpa would have still been alive then.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's nice.
They're solid people to chill with.
True story.
Yeah. But anyway, if anybody else has anything for Andy, you can give us an email, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Or you can give us a phone call, 331-276-2373. And don't forget to check out our Instagram, which is hopefully by this point we've got some kind of content up. And that is, what is it, the Broadcasters 3?
Yes.
It is. It's the Broadcasters 3.
Yes. Please make sure, check us out. Thank you to the patrons, especially those who contributed a certain level, and that would be Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier, Joanne with a Plan, Maggie the Magnificent, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart Rickner. Thank you guys all so much. If you'd like to become a patron and help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack and go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link at the right-hand corner of the page. And when you do become a patron, then you have to hashtag I'm with hers, so that way we know it's because of us. And stay tuned. So this is going to be a very Harry Potter themed, I guess, now 2 weeks on the network, because the Jay and Jack show premieres on Monday the 4th coming up. And that is the brand new show that Jay and Jack have gotten back together for the first time. They're doing just the two of them, and it's going to have different segments on it, and every week they're going to have a guest as their kind of like middle segment. The first guest is Ralph from the Darmalars, but for all you Harry Potter fans listening out there, the second guest for Monday's show, February 11th, is going to be Melissa Anelli from Pottercast. Melissa is one of the godmothers of Harry Potter podcasting, and they're going to be talking to her. So definitely check that out if you haven't quite gotten your strong, awesome women in Potter fix.
Yeah, I used to listen to Melissa when I was like 14, so that's like 15 years ago.
Gosh, it's a long time. I used to listen to her when I was like 20.
That checks out.
Yeah. That math sounds solid.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, once again, thank you, Alice and Martha, for coming on to the show.
Thank you guys so much for having us. This was a lot of fun, as is our new annual tradition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Next year, we'll have to do a three-part show.
Oh, please, no.
Just do the whole month.
Oh, my God. It is Women's Month, isn't it? Is
March.
February Women's
March
Month? March is Women's Month. All right. We'll push it back to March, and then we'll just
do
Real Weird Sisters
this.
The whole time.
Perfect.
Once again, would you like to tell everybody how they can find you guys?
Yeah, so you can find us. Our website is realweirdsisters.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/realweirdsisters, or Twitter @realweirdsister. You can search for us on any podcasting platform. That's really the best way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. So make sure you guys check them out. If while you're at it, like subscribing to them, you may as well go into iTunes for both of us and give us all the 5 stars as like a Valentine's Day present.
Yeah, that's the best way to spend Valentine's Day as a single person or formerly single person.
Yeah.
Or do it as a couple. Do it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like not on the same account, like two separate accounts.
So you're just sitting together and doing it separately on your phone.
It's a great couples activity.
Yeah. That's what we totally think. But yeah, thank you again, Alice and Martha. This has been the best 2 weeks of 2019 so far.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Low, high bar. Well,
all right. We might only be 3 weeks into it, but who cares? We're like seven weeks into it at this point.
Thank you so much for having us. It's really been fun to do the Real Weird Sisters After Dark for a second year.
Yeah, I don't feel like it got quite as wild as last year, but there's always next year.
Yes. Everybody. True. Yeah. You guys got to step it up next year.
Yeah, we do.
As always, please, you know, send us your pickup lines if you have those too, to either podcast, I'm sure, you know, or to both. You can CC us both. But all right, on that note, let's get out of here. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Martha.
All right. Peace out, everybody. How do they say goodbye in Wizard World?
Nox.
Nox
means to turn off all the lights.
Oh yeah. Oh. I was gonna say Delumos.
Yeah. That's basically Nox.